place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills, here to bring in this Friday with you. You made it to the end of the work week, and so you have the weekend ahead of you to enjoy, and thanks for carving out some time to take in this episode of Locked On Bills, where I am going to spend some time talking quickly about the terms of Lorenzo Alexander's one-year contract extension, and then we're going to continue the State of the Roster series, focusing today on the offensive tackle position, a very important position group for the future of the Bills offense, and obviously the most important thing, the development of Josh Allen as the franchise quarterback, so that he has the protection that he deserves and needs to develop. So that's going to be the plan for today, still down here in Florida, in St. Petersburg. The Shrine game is on tap for Saturday, so I'll be taking that in, staying in town on Sunday for the playoff games, and then it's off to Mobile for the Senior Bowl. And so we'll talk probably a little bit about the Senior Bowl on Monday, some of the players that I think the Bills should be focused in on. A lot of good, talented football players there, and the Bills have been very interested in the Senior Bowl. A lot of the players they've drafted over the last 2 years since Sean McDermott's been the head coach have come from the Senior Bowl. So it's a very, very important stop in the NFL scouting process for the Buffalo Bills, and I'll be sure to cover that very in-depth for you next week. All right, so we were able to get the contract extension terms that Lorenzo Alexander signed yesterday. Those came courtesy of Adam Schefter through a source. He says that Alexander's one-year extension is worth a max value of $4.55 million with a base value of $3 million, including $550,000 to sign. This deal looks pretty good. I don't think this is a break-the-bank type deal. It looks like it's favorable for the Bills. Obviously, there's the age factor that comes into play with Alexander and the point that he is in his career, the role that the Bills want him to play. And it looks like this is a bargain. And if, you know, if Alexander's able to give the Bills the same thing that they gave him this year, this will come as a very good deal for Buffalo, not moving the needle. Plenty of cap space available for the Bills. I mean, we've talked at length about this. I mean, almost $90 million. So this is a great deal in terms of the financial aspects of it. We broke down what he means to the team and how he should be used in yesterday's show. But from a financial standpoint, now that we have that information, certainly feel even better about it, that it seemed to be a team-friendly deal that obviously works for Lorenzo Alexander as well. And hopefully he can play at the level we expect him to. And if this is his last year, he's made himself quite a few nice extra bucks. That also works very, very well for the team. All right, moving on to the offensive tackles on this roster, or ones with expiring contracts. Important position group. These are the guys, these are the, you know, the NFL, they feature all these good pass rushers. Myles Garrett and Von Miller and Khalil Mack. All these players that are game changers. Joey Bosa. And you got to have guys that can block these guys. And, you know, the pass rushers coming into the NFL every single year, they just seem to get longer and more athletic and more technically refined as pass rushers. And so you better have you a pair of bookend offensive tackles to slow those guys down to be able to run your offense, or else they're just going to wreck you. And so the Bills' offensive tackle position, as it stands, is one that we're going to talk about how it needs to get better. And the first player, the kind of the cream of the crop guy here on the roster, is Deion Dawkins. Second-round pick a couple years ago. Buffalo had traded up to get him. He's 24 years old. He turns 25 on April 26th, so he'll be 25 years old going into next season with a couple of seasons under his belt. Started all 16 games last year. Almost every offensive snap, he only missed a couple for the entire season. And he's critical. He's really important. He had a great rookie season. I thought, especially down the stretch, there was a lot of excitement for what he can be as he develops. And we've talked about it a little bit because we've mentioned Juan Castillo being let go as the offensive line coach, and largely because of what I think is a lack of development in the young offensive lineman, but mainly Deion Dawkins just didn't get the most out of him this year. Not that he had a bad season. I thought he had an average season, but he didn't take a step forward, and I think that's what disappoints me. And Dawkins even put on Twitter, he put out a tweet that said he'll never take a season for granted, and it kind of shed some light into last year, maybe where his mindset was. Maybe he thought, took for granted the amount of work that it took to get better. And so he probably was the same, but maybe even regressed a little bit. 11 penalties against, that seemed like a high number. It seemed like there was a lot of situations where Deion Dawkins, on account of penalties, put the team in a bad position. And then missed blocks. There's just times where he wasn't able to hang with some of these edge rushers around the outside track, just maybe some issues with the set points and not getting his hands on guys. Let's not overreact here. It was one season. He's shown that he can play at a high level. He's young. And so I think there's a lot of room for him to grow and get better, but he needs to. He needs to take a big step forward in year three. He needs to prove that he can be the guy long term. He'll have a contract coming up in a couple seasons here. Let's actually look at his contract situation. Obviously, he's a rookie. He signed a four-year, $4.18 million contract. He just finished year two of that. So he signed with the team through 2020, unrestricted free agent in 2021. And so this year will be really important heading into 2020 to say, okay, are we going to give you this big contract? Are you going to be a high-level player for us? And so this next season is going to be big in determining that. And so hopefully we get the best version of Deion Dawkins. We know what he can be. We know where that arrow was pointed after his rookie season. Just kind of have to recapture that buzz. It's one other interesting note with Dawkins. When Brandon Breen was asked about him this offseason, he didn't rule out a position change. And one thing you'll learn about me is I'm not a big fan of moving guys around on the offensive line. I think there's a lot of factors that it's not so easy as you're like, hey, you're just going to slide over to guard, or you're going to kick over to the right side and play tackle. Like, I think that stuff is really difficult, and they're really, there's so much muscle memory that goes into playing football, and I'm never quick to move guys because I think it hurts their development, their evolution as players, in having to relearn techniques, and I think Joe Thomas actually made a comment about this, and maybe I'm not going to reference it because it's a little inappropriate, but when you shift the way you do things, when you shift the way you do things in a normal everyday fashion, and then you reverse it and flip it, it's challenging, and it's no different playing offensive line. So it's not just a matter of, hey, the Bills can get a left tackle in free agency or a left tackle in the draft, and they can just move Deion Dawkins, because now you've got to figure out if Dawkins can truly play those other positions. We've seen him have some issues on the right side. We've seen him have some issues at guard when he was tossing those, whether it was in preseason or camp. He's a left tackle. I really feel like that's his most natural spot. And if that transition is going to happen, it needs to happen right away, because I'd like for Deion Dawkins to know where he's going to play and focus on the techniques that he needs to for that position. So there you have it on Deion Dawkins. I spent a lot of time on him, but he's such an important player, one of the young pieces that you hope is really a foundational pillar of this roster for years to come. Just need to see that starting next season and obviously consistently moving forward. Next guy I want to talk about, Connor McDermott. He is 26 years old. He'll turn 27 October 19th. He is signed for the foreseeable future, actually. He signed a four-year, $2.3 million deal with the contract with the Patriots. And the Bills were able to pick him up off waivers last year, 2017, actually. And he's got two more years left on his deal. So he's under contract through 2020, unrestricted free agent in 2021. And he's not played a lot. He only played 22 snaps all of last season. But he's sticking around, and I've mentioned that with some other players before, because I know Sean McDermott's very particular about the players on this roster and their habits and how they fit in. And so the fact that he continues to be a part of this mix, even though he's inactive a lot, even though we don't see him on the field, it says a lot that the Bills believe in him. And so to this point, that seems to be the case. We can kind of draw that conclusion. But at the end of the day, he's a little bit of an unproven player. Ideally, he is 26, 27 years old. He has been in the league for a few years. So you'd like to feel good about him as the backup swing tackle, maybe a guy that can compete for that right tackle job. But, right now he's a relative unknown, other than we can assume that he's been around for a little while now, that there's something there, and that the Bills believe there's something there to develop and cultivate and maybe fill that very important swing tackle role. You need a guy, your backup, your third tackle, they need to be a guy that you're comfortable playing both on the right and left side. And I think the Bills see that in McDermott. So through a couple more seasons here, he's on the roster. We'll see if he gets a chance to play any meaningful snaps. But he'll be a player. He'll be a name to really monitor through the course of, you know, or the camps, obviously training camp and, you know, OTAs, those types of things, preseason. Let's see what we have in Connor McDermott, because he's been around. And I think that there's something there that the Bills like. Next up, Jordan Mills. He's been a fixture on this offensive line for several years. He's been a part of some of the Bills' really good offensive lines. And I think there's a lot of mixed opinions about what he is as a player and what his ceiling is and those types of things. But Mills has been a reliable starter. Maybe he's not a high-caliber starter, but he's been a reliable guy. Started all 16 games last year, nearly every snap he played. He's 28 years old. He turns 29 on Christmas Eve 2019. So he'll basically play next season as 28 years old. And he's an unrestricted free agent. He just finished up playing a two-year, $3.8 million deal that he signed going into the 2017 season. So that contract has expired. We'll see if he's brought back. And the thing about it is this offensive line right now is pretty young, the way you look at it. Probably in Jordan Mills, you're looking at the Bills' most experienced offensive lineman, and his contract's up. And I know you saw the toll that it took on the group last year by not being able to have Eric Wood and Richie Incognito in the mix. And I'm not saying Mills is that type of caliber player, but an experienced guy that's familiar with the nuances of playing in Buffalo and familiarity with the system now, hopefully, you know, going into year two with Dable, a guy that, you know, again, he's been around. He survived the switch over from Rex Ryan to Sean McDermott, one of the few guys that have done that. And I think that says a lot about Mills. And I think that there's been times where Sean McDermott has praised Jordan Mills for his habits. And so I think he's a likable guy in terms of, you know, him fitting in. We talk about, again, fits and Sean McDermott and those types of things. They matter a lot. And I think that you see that in Mills. If nothing else with Mills, if we've seen his last games as a Buffalo Bill, he will go down as the guy that protected his quarterback on that last play there against Miami, where there was a little bit of a scuffle, cheap shot coming in on Josh when he was sliding by Kiko Alonso. And he was the one. He was the guy that went out there and made sure that he stood up and made sure that Miami knew that wasn't okay and defended his quarterback. So, I'm cool with that. I'm very cool with that. So we'll see if he's brought back. Wouldn't hate it. Obviously, he's upgradable. But is there going to be any cohesiveness left on this offensive line? And maybe not. Maybe that's a good thing because this is a group that needs to get better. I don't think there's any question. So when we start talking more in the coming weeks about the draft targets and we talk about free agent targets, we're going to bring in a lot of guys to the table that can help this group. And it's a group that needs help. But Jordan Mills is kind of a wild card here because he's been a long-term fixture at starting right tackle. And have we seen the end of him? Possibly. But if he's brought back, he's definitely in the mix to start a right tackle again. And I know that's not news that a lot of you guys would like to hear because there's some haters out there for Jordan Mills, but I digress. Lastly, we talked about him a ton yesterday, so I'm not going to spend too much time on him, but Jeremiah Searles, he is now back. Signed that one-year extension, 27 years old, turns 28 on August 8th. Don't have the terms of that deal yet, but you have to think it's pretty modest. One thing I talked a lot about yesterday was his real value comes in versatility. Guy that can play tackle and guard. And he started 20 games and he's played in over 40, so there's NFL game experience there. But when you're talking about the seven offensive line that you're going to dress on game day, knowing that one of those backups you can put in at guard or tackle, that position flexibility is something that matters a lot. And so you get that in Searles. Don't think it's a lock that he makes a team. He'll have to earn it. But you have an experienced guy that can play multiple positions. And that's what you get with Searles. And obviously, we talked about the utility plays and bringing in that sixth or seventh offensive lineman or having a big body in the backfield lining up to blast open a hole in a short yardage situation. He's the guy that you would look to do those types of things. So there you have it, the state of the roster with the offensive tackles. We'll next week we'll talk a lot about the Senior Bowl. We may get into the interior offensive line. Again, it's going to be fluid based on what happens throughout the course of next week. the Bills have not given us the news to reflect upon. And so anything that happens, we'll get into it, just like we have, you know, every episode since I've taken over a host of this show. And so I've really had a blast with it, and I'm enjoying this. If you are, please subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, and make sure you leave a kind written review. I absolutely love that. Interact with me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. Follow the podcast on Twitter at LockedOnBills. And I hope you guys have a great weekend, and thanks for taking some time to listen to Locked On Bills.